You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 38.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm June. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Stockton, California. He's used his award-winning talents in commercials for major Fortune 500 companies, narrated audiobooks on the largest platforms in the industry, voiced multiple characters in well-known independent video game franchises, and done introductions for some of the most talented voices in radio. Please welcome the urban legend voiceover, Damon Alums.
We're under fire here! Alpha 1 to base 2, you copy?
The city that never sleeps, Las Vegas. Pretty much anything you want is here 24/7. So you've made it this far, have you, mortal? Very good, my dear friend. How dare you question my decision on this matter? You are in no position to question my next move. Well done, minion. Now the rules are simple.
What is wrong with you, boy? Did your mommy pamper you every day of your sorry life?
Come on. The guards won't give us another chance. This way. Where is he, Mr. Cooper? Where is that fool?
Oh, yeah! This is a total trip, man. We should be celebrating.
Welcome, warriors. You're being assigned to a dangerous deep space mission. You and five other special forces will travel into Sector 21 to find and recover a downed drone and its contents.
Damon Alums, hello, sir. How are you this evening?
Very, very glad to be here. Thank you for the invite. Ready for some good conversation.
I am sitting here with a glass of Eagle Rock, I believe. I was talking to another voice actor for this podcast, and he recommended that I must try it. So I said, okay, I'll try it. It's good. It's good bourbon. Oh, man.
Right on.
What are you drinking, sir?
Right here, I have a Jim Beam Old Fashioned. Old Fashioned is the one where if James Bond has his vodka martini shaken, not stirred, then the urban legend has the bourbon Old Fashioned.
Nice. That's highly respectful stuff right there. That's fantastic. Welcome to the show. That's amazing. Now, typically when we start these shows, we go back, like way back, to the olden days when Damon Alums was a little boy. I like to hear some stories from those days. I'm curious as to know, like, what kind of experiences or events that occurred that got you into this creative, artistic realm that you're in now?
Let's see. I come from a family of talkers. Any subject at any length, at the drop of a dime, it can be a debate or a battle. You pick your poison. I am the odd man out from my family in that I don't talk much, which is incredibly strange for this field. But I do a whole lot more listening than talking. And I've always been the quiet, bookish, retiring type. But if asked directly, I'll knock your socks off. So, the quiet young man who would sit very, very quietly, but when the church lady in the big hat would come over like, oh, and you're just such a quiet young man. What's your name? Hello, my name is Damon. How are you today? At a very, very young age, like, hey, I'm here. I'm just wandering the warehouse of my mind, very content to do so. Always been bookish, always been a listener. And I think that has helped me compile the pieces of stories that help me in the booth. Because when it's my time and I know I have the spotlight, once I get my feet firmly planted and realize, like, oh, it's my turn to talk? No talkers are going to take over for me? Okay, let's go. And yeah, just like I did when I was little, I'll knock your socks off.
With articulate and concise communication.
Exactly so.
I love it. What kind of stuff do you like to do when you were a kid as a hobby? I don't know. I used to go play with kids. you know, into the back in Korea, long time ago, I used to play with my kids, with other kids in the neighborhood, and like go into the mountains and roll around in the dirt and get into fights and stuff like that. I don't know. what kind of stuff did you like to do when you were a kid?
Well, I was a single parent household. It was just me and my mom growing up, and she was scrambling to put things together for herself and her young son. So we didn't do a whole lot of the big ticket items, which didn't really bother me much. We would go to nature preserves and low-cost things. And I remember there is a lake where I used to live in the San Francisco Bay Area. The city called Oakland has a man-made lake called Lake Merritt. There is a nature preserve, or there was when I was little. That was my spot. Inside, they had bees. A gigantic beehive encased in glass. It was very safe, but I would just gaze at that thing for hours and dream of perfect societies in my little kid way. Like, wow, that's a whole city. And nobody fights. Everybody works hard. And it all works. I would just gaze at that thing enraptured for extended periods. I always have had a soft spot for bees from those visits to Lake Merritt. Visits to the library. Always been a bookish kid. Art, to sit at a drawing table and to have time to myself to express the galaxy through my brain and my hand, oh, that is absolute bliss. Superheroes, since Pop wasn't there, I've been on a search, just like any child would, for the dads who would not fail or who would grind themselves to dust to make the goal happen. So superheroes have always been a mainstay for me. So I'm living in the nerd zeitgeist right now. So I can just go to the movies or throw on a DVD and see the heroes of my youth on the big screen. As a young man, nerdy fare and nature were part of what sparked my wires.
Tell me about high school, Damon. What was that like?
I had branched out into my own by that point. The bookish child of elementary school had realized a little bit of swagger by that point. Realized I had kept myself under wraps, and right about sophomore year, something in my mind literally snapped. Like overnight, it must have been the hormones or must have been the circumstances, but like over the span of literally a week, I was like, you know what? I'm done being quiet. Became the, you got served guy at the school dances. Actually did more than my share of romancing and became a bit of a culture rebel. Heard the news story of and this is way back in the 80s, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, a football coach had something to say that black folks could not succeed in swimming because they have a special anatomical this, that, and the other, like, okay, now you done got me upset.
There we go.
And the girl that I had my eye on was on the swim team. Watch this. Nice. Yeah. And those those country club kids were surprised that the shadow in the water was overtaking them and competing very, very well with little or no experience. I was out to test all kind of boundaries. Joined the swim team. I was the only, well, to quote the expression, I was the only fly in the buttermilk for a year or two, and got a buddy of mine to join up. Joined the cheer squad, and that caused a major stir.
I love it.
Yeah, I was on one in high school. I was the only guy in the high school on the cheer squad, and it wasn't about wearing a skirt because I am a cis, a straight up hetero, knuckle dragon guy. But I wanted to perform.
Yeah.
I wanted to hang out with the cheerleaders, and I didn't want to do two-a-days and end up sweaty and injured and angry. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Why not? Nobody's stopping me. So I joined the cheer squad, and it got back to me that that caused quite a stir. It was quite the talk of the academic halls. Like, what is he doing?
What?
Why is he doing that? Is this a sexual thing? Is he going to come out? When is he going to come out? But I don't get, like, ain't nothing to get. Go team. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And I got to ride with the cool girls on the bus. Like, psh, man, that ain't even a question. Think smart and you don't have to work hard.
You know, the only reason I decided to teach myself how to play the guitar
to woo women
was for the ladies, yeah.
Hey, I ain't even mad at it.
and people wonder why I played badminton a lot in high school. It was the only co-ed sport in the winter.
Hey, smart. Anybody listening? Get your battle plan ready and outflank the thinking of those who are just doing it regular.
Dang right. Absolutely right. Nice. All right. And the story continues on. After high school, what happens?
Oh, shoot. I knocked around quite a bit. I was unprepared for college life. Attended UC Riverside for about a year. And everybody has a time when they go on their walkabout. It can be like, I traveled the world in order to find myself or something like that. Well, my chapter was right after high school. Went to UC Riverside, then moved to Colorado, attended UC Boulder briefly, lived a little bit in Atlanta. Huh. And then back to California. And that was over the course of several years. Did a lot of living, did a lot of loving, and grew more into myself. So I guess that would be the period from teen to adult.
What, if you don't mind me asking, what made you move? What made you and your family move out to Atlanta and Colorado and back?
I was chasing my heart.
Oh, nice. Nice. Romantic at heart. Look at you.
Mr. Spock is my favorite character. I try and keep a very, very upfront, straight-laced veneer, dignified in all things. Yes, but you know what? Deep down, I love hard. Which is why I try and keep it as straight up as possible to keep me from hitting my head when my heart leads on.
Atlanta, Colorado, chasing heart.
Yep.
Damn, I mean, who can say that nowadays? You know what I mean? They can't say that nowadays. I would love for somebody to prove me wrong from this podcast.
That would be a great story.
Man, that's phenomenal. I know you've got kids.
Yes, sir.
Those boys, I stalked your Instagram a little bit. They playing music instruments.
Yes.
Love it. What's it like being a dad?
Oh, man. I've wanted to be a dad ever since I was little. I instinctively understood the weight and the responsibility of being responsible for a new life, and always thought that, you know what? Yeah, that is a noble goal. I think I'll do that. That's never lost, never been far from my mind. There is an expression Black folks say in reference to time periods. Oh, that was before you was even thought of. You know what? That has never applied to my sons because even before they arrived, they were always, always on my mind.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of dad will I be? How would I react in this situation that I'm in for my son? So there is, I literally can't say that to or about my boys. Because, yeah, they've always been with me, even before I knew them. I've been preparing myself for a dad as long as I've been aware of being a dad.
Nice. And I bet that makes you a great dad. The one who cares, who shows
up
for things.
The evaluation will come up. The evaluation will come up after I'm gone. But it won't be because I didn't try and I didn't think it out beforehand.
That's right.
Yeah, I take it real serious. I take it real serious.
That's right. And I think I'm in the same boat with you. I mean, my dad wasn't a dad. He was a father, you know. And there's a big difference, I really think so, between somebody who's a father and who's a dad.
Now, my Korean cousins have a very different experience. And I think that father, I am the father, I say the rules, you do what I say. That is that far off the mark?
It's very far off the mark, kind of, yeah. I mean, it's true. Culturally speaking, like, they're right about that. I'm the father, I've got the authority, you'll do what I say, all this stuff, which is fine. But my father was all about, like, self-inflated ego and his own priority and significance and importance, and about expressing that to other people in his life. So it manifested in physical violence, mental violence. As far back as I can remember, it's always been, like, beatings for my mom and me, both of us. And it's just fighting every day. And like the day I turned 18, he split. And that was a great day.
Wow. Wow. Actually, this is quite revealing. Because you and I are acquainted on Twitter. I'm an old dinosaur. I get it. You and I are approximately the same age. And everybody that is on the next wave coming in, the next generation, I call them all the new humans. Because they are doing stuff and thinking things that I am, like, quite shocked at sometimes. But it's not my job to understand. It's my job to bring them along as safely as possible or get out of the way. Because it ain't my show anymore.
Yeah.
So now that I've shared that vocabulary, what you've shared with me about your dad shows me how you have nurtured all the new humans that you come into contact with. I thought it was just a teacher type thing, but in sharing your paternal story, I can see how you are attempting to flip your own narrative and turn it into something positive for the folks that you are connected to in the voiceover world. I think that is very, very noble.
I'll be honest with you. It's both. It's me wanting to guide the young, the next generation into better places for them to go to. And it's also an educator thing. I was a teacher for 11 years, Damon.
What age?
And when you do something, high school. And when you do something for 11 years, day in and day out, with passion and full steam ahead, it doesn't leave you when you're done. You know, I'm forever going to be a teacher, one way or another.
Right on. What subject?
Theater, of course.
Right on.
So it's points are connecting and, you know.
Yep. I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan. So, like, okay.
Oh,
and the
okay,
clues,
here we go.
Ding, ding. Right. Got it. Making connections.
And I guess... that kind of leads me to my next question. Again, this is very, very unscripted, and I apologize for a certain aspect of that. Where does this drive and the need to guide your sons come from, and where do you get that? For me, a lot of what being a good human means, or being a good dad means, came from movies and video games. I didn't have a dad teach me that these are the values of life I should follow. I'm not particularly religious either, so God wasn't there. And I learned a lot about what being a role model is, what being a man is, what being a husband is, and a dad is from movies and video games and other people's narratives. What was that experience like for you?
Wow. Step one, I love my pop. He's been gone a little over a year. No need. I mean, he is no longer in pain. He was going through it in his last days, and he is no longer going through it. So that is a definitely net plus. His legacy remains in me and my boys. With that preface, my father was a fucking wild man. He was out to lunch. Incredibly charismatic. If you left him alone in a new city with no spending money and no connections, by the end of a night, he would end up with a network of friends, a new love interest, and a ticket back to his home territory. Pop was bad. That's a bad man. That wasn't necessarily conducive to home and hearth, which is why Mom had to strike out with me on her hip. And that charisma, because he'd hit the room and hit you with that, "Hey, dude, what's going on?" Slap five, and your heart would lift. But the lure of the streets, when he wanted to hang with his buddies and live that wild life, doing whatever he was going to do, and missed appointments with his young bookish son, it didn't balance out. It didn't balance out. And just like you are fighting against your circumstances, my proximity, my attention, and my tangible love for my boys is how I'm going to counter my upbringing or my circumstances. Because Pop was there sometimes. Christmas, oh, he'd come through. Every once in a while when he didn't have, like, gallivanting to do, he'd make his appointment. Oh, that was a ball. But that rubber to the road, like, "Hey, Pop, I need new socks." Like, "Man, I got you." That wasn't there. I'm determined to make that there for my boys.
That's noble. You're gonna call me noble. That's noble. To turn around and to provide and to take the example of from what not to do and to make the generation, to help the next generation do better. That's noble, I think, you know? And I'm sure you and I both are not very good at taking compliments or gratitude or whatever, but take it. That's noble. Good for you.
Taken with thanks. I'm trying.
Cheers to you. That's for sure.
Right on.
And then here you are today in 2020 as a voice actor, working hard and getting that stuff done. I'm curious about the branding of Urban Legend. How did that come about?
Urban Legend was a moniker chosen for me by Corey Disson. Shouts out, Corey D. And it encapsulated my love for the legends of yesterday and today, because I love Beowulf, I love Dracula, I love Captain America. Those are legends of yesterday and today. I love the finer things, Corinthian leather seats, finely smoked meats, pulsing dance floor beats, and all that refined city life that is reflected in the urban veneer. And part of that is playing the system on itself. Being 100% perfectly frank, the voiceover community is incredibly friendly. It is a welcoming place. However, It is also an industry that is based on Caucasian nepotistic tradition. I want to make it plain that I am not what you expect, just like I did in high school. I am the unicorn. You don't know what to expect from me. I am the wild card. So yeah. I'm going to give you one chance. Oh, he's urban. Oh, that means black, because that is the standard industry parlance of the day. I get it. I see it. And I intend to turn it on its head. I'm not just urban. I'm the urban legend. Now, what you going to do about that?
Like, this is me. This is me applauding right here. Just I go a little faster. It's me applauding right here. It angers me to no end when I see urban in a copy. It's just, my gosh. And you know what? I'm going to say it too. I think you're absolutely right about that. There are some significant changes that need to happen in this industry. And if this recent event of POC, BIPOC actors and the proper representation, the significance of the proper representation in actors, in all mediums, hasn't become this important of today, I think it's a sign. We're definitely heading in the right direction. I honestly think so.
The needle is moving, and it's amazing to see. It's not where it should be. It's heading there. It will be the job of the new humans to rectify the slights of bygone ages. And from everything that I see them creating, the work that I see them doing, and the stances that I see them making, I have hope. I have a lot of hope, which is why I'm getting out of the way as gracefully as I can. Like, I don't understand y'all, the dances that y'all are doing. Like, wait, and you guys are together, but hey, okay. Not my monkeys, not my circus. Do you. Congratulations. Happy union. Do what y'all do. But I have hope for the future from what I see the new humans coming up with and how they're doing what they're doing. They'll change the industry and they'll change the world. And you know what? It's good because that's their job.
That was our job.
You know what I'm saying? We carried it as far as we could.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it's time to pass the baton to the next generation and support them as they make their moves.
And make sure they're strong enough to carry it however far they're going to carry it.
That's right. That's absolutely right. 100%. Nice. But we can't, like, give the new humans all the credit. You've got to take some for yourself here. In my research, in my stalking, I found that you had won the Carol Joy Award back in 2018. Tell me about that.
Yeah. That was a flight of fancy. I had just started my voiceover career, and my voiceover career came from the ashes of my marriage. As devoted as I have been to being a father, I had only planned to get married once. I'm the marrying kind. As much as I love women in form and function, my plan was to get married. Boom, that's it. Me and you. Boom, done. As tactfully as I can put it, she changed her mind. I was not prepared, not by any means, not emotionally, not financially. I was a mess. And I had my boys half of the time, had to figure out a new normal. And we had to figure out, like, what are we going to do? And I had to be strong for them while they were trying to figure out what they were going to do. And just like the quote from The Shawshank Redemption, you either got to get busy living or get busy dying. And I wasn't ready to die. and I assessed what dreams I had put on hold in order to keep my marriage alive. What am I good at? What did I always want to do? Because now, with only me and my boys to worry about, I could pursue whatever I wanted. So I got a $25 mic, interface, and Audacity, and started studying YouTube videos, trying to put knowledge like, okay, this is what you do with a mic. Okay, because I couldn't afford a professional trainer. So do what you can. And learned what I could and got in the booth and tried to tear the mic up, use my best friendly announcer, a soft sell read, and tried to forget about it because I didn't know about fire and forget on auditions, a practice that everybody needs to adopt.
It's true.
Never having won many contests as competitive as I am, I was on pins and needles about that one and had actually put it out of my mind when my homeboy Trey Mosley, shouts out Trey, said, hey, they're making the announcement. You need to sign up and watch the video. Like, man, I ain't win no contest. Shut up, man. I got stuff to do. Like, no, you really need to watch. Like, all right, I got 15 minutes out of my day and watched, and yeah, it blew my mind. I actually won. I won a ticket to VO Atlanta, met friends that I have talked to like weekly since then, opportunity to grow in the industry and see how the big fish do it, and realized that I ain't no guppy. Well, I got a little fish action. Yeah. Like, okay, all right. I can swing with these guys. And that was with a $25 mic in a cardboard box with a mattress pad glued into it. Anybody listening, if you got a dream, pursue that dream with everything you got and the resources you have at hand.
Hell yeah.
If I can do it, you can do it.
Ah, shit. If I can do it, they can do it. I started from the corner of my garage with towels hanging around me. I didn't have no fancy cardboard box and a mattress.
Started from the bottom. Hey, you gotta start somewhere.
Damn. That's awesome. It's been a couple of years, I understand, but congratulations. You know, I wasn't around to say these words, but now I am. Congratulations.
Many, many thanks.
Awesome. And then in 2019, you booked your first video game with Rebel Galaxy Outlaw. Tell me about that. I did my homework.
Yeah, you did. Okay. Well, this is what it feels like to be on This Is Your Life. Like, man, how'd you know that? the character of Ruth, short for Ruthless, Rebel Galaxy Outlaw landed in my lap on social media. After attending VO Atlanta, I understood the value of social media to voiceover industry growth and started to extend my feelers out that way, joined groups and did a whole lot more listening than talking. And one day, Travis Baldry, shouts out Travis Baldry, made an announcement like, hey, I'm casting for a video game. And, really? Okay. And saw the copy. They needed someone who sounded like Lance Reddick, very, very stately, angular actor who played in a show that I was watching called The Wire. Have you seen it?
I have not, but I'm well aware of it.
Examine your choices, sir. That show is one of the most hard-hitting, best-written pieces of television I have ever seen. You want to talk about a hard, hard story. It's out of my bailiwick in that there are no laser swords, dragons or spaceships, but whoa, a hard-hitting real-life story. Ooh, why, gets no better than The Wire. Good stuff. Lance Reddick played on The Wire, and I had just watched the entire 5-year span. Like, you know what? I got this.
Marathon time, yeah.
And tried to tear the mic up. Put my own little spin on it, but yeah, Lance Reddick was not far from my mind and landed the gig. And this was in my baby boy's closet that I had stapled blankets in. Now, I'm a bigger guy. My shoulders, I couldn't stretch out my shoulders and fill out my chest because that would hit the walls of the closet. So I'm in the closet, scrunched up, bad posture, trying to sound big and bad and not wake him up.
Oh,
because
dang.
Baby is in the same room as I am.
Oh,
hey, you do what you must in order to make it happen.
You got the parts.
Yep. Yep.
What a ride. What a ride. Hey,
it has been. And Damon. It's only getting started.
And bigger and better things to go. I know you're signed with Impressive and Stars and other agencies. How have those relationships served you so far?
They have been very, very, very beneficial. I've heard war stories. Again, I do a whole lot of more listening than talking in the places where I appear. But I've heard horror stories. Fortunately, I haven't encountered them for myself yet and don't plan to. No warning signs. As a matter of fact, just landed another agent. It's been my dream to get representation in Las Vegas and just got the email today. So yeah, going back to bees and the natural world, I'm growing like a weed in all kinds of directions and in all kinds of angles and claiming my place like I mean it, because I mean it.
I'm going to just shift that a little bit. I disagree about the weed part. I think you're growing in a very methodical, shaped, and purposeful way, like a good bonsai tree might be,
like a good all that
rose bush might be. You're a beautiful man.
You know what? You know? I'll take that.
Congratulations on landing that Vegas agent. That's
many
great.
Many thanks.
And on top of that, I mean, you are also a teacher. Music,
yes, sir.
Art and drama.
Now, music, art, and drama teaching, that's not current. Right now, I am working special education at the high school up the street.
Wow.
Yeah, distance learning, helping students who are struggling in school not struggle so hard.
Why?
Because it's in me. always wanted to help. And I've got a wealth of experience. And school has never been a problem for me. So when the teacher's teaching, I've always been doodling, drawing superheroes, this, that, and the other. Oh, yeah, yeah, the answer is E equals MC squared, teacher. Yeah. I have had enough brain power to pass the test guessing. I've been lucky that way. So if I can do that and use my experience to help students who are starting to decide the school is not their thing to change their mind, then yeah, that's a good way to spend my time.
Beautiful. And that idea of dad, because you're a dad and, you know, wanting to help people and guide them into the proper places as we go. I hear you loud and clear. Absolutely. Now, one thing I do want to talk about, if you're comfortable with it, is the aftermath of what happened in Minnesota recently. After George Floyd, we've seen this this dramatic and never been seen before and never been experienced before at this level in our contemporary society, of the rise of the call for equality, the call for awareness of Black Lives Matter. I, for one, am a strong proponent. Of course. I mean, anybody who isn't is nuts, I think. At the time, we connected through a writer. And I connected the two of you, his piece and your voice. I'd like to hear some of that, about that experience.
You know what? You disagreed about my growing like a weed. I would respectfully disagree about the prevalence and the frequency of police brutality and racism in this country. To quote Will Smith, racism isn't getting greater, it's getting filmed. I think it's happening at the same rate it always has, but with the advent of technology and people knowing their rights, they can say, boom, that's not right. I may not be bold enough to confront you and get shot, but I can hide behind this bush and tape this and the whole world will know. This, on top of the folks that are bold enough to say something, is creating a big, big change. And again, it's on the new humans to carry that torch. But that doesn't mean that folks' work is just to put it on them. Part of it is how to figure out how you can make a stand. The post that you mentioned came from my pain in not knowing what to do. Going back to my paternal experience, Philando Castile had gotten shot, and that was 2 years before George Floyd, 1 or 2 years before George Floyd. And I'm a big NPR head, and the discussion of Philando Castile and circumstances at that time was one of the only times that my boys have seen me cry. Like I said, I keep it real, real, real buttoned up and under control. And that got to me. Going back to the post that you're mentioning, again, I was lost in how do I address this? How do I make my voice heard in a way that's significant? Because I could go out and be a knucklehead and like yell and scream, but all that's going to do is mess up my auditions for the next day. That's not the way I want to do it. Encountering the works of T.J. Young, he wrote an essay paraphrased, how do I prepare for life in the present day? I prepare to die. And it was a very, very bleak, stark look at the ugly underside of our culture that has come to light. In that essay, he has written out his will. He has a male partner, and they know what the drill is. When this happens, I'm going to do this, you do that, and we will take care of each other. And if I get taken out, you know, follow the protocol. That's it. He has a protocol for what should happen if he is taken out in the way that Philando Castile, Breonna Taylor, and so on and so on. If I get taken out in that fashion, family, here's what you do. Partner, here's what you do. And it was, one, it was worth repeating. Two, it resonated with the anger that I was feeling. So I went into the booth and I spoke his words. I got his permission first and I spoke his words. And that helped me get my pain out. It was a bit cathartic and helped me go on with the rest of my day with a clearer head. And yeah, I think that was how we met.
Yes, it was. And T.J. Young had definitely connected through T.J. Young's words and his essay. Absolutely powerful. And every word just enriched and drenched with subtext and the pain of this systematic injustice that's been going on for too long in this country. The pain was palpable. It was coming through his words and punching me in the face. And I was ultimately very much happy to be able to connect the two of you, to put his words in your voice. And when that narration came out, the amount of goosebumps, just I'm thinking about it now, getting them. Oh, gosh. What a powerful piece that was. I'll be sure to link it everywhere where this episode is going, obviously. But you made your voice heard, I think. And gosh dang it, if we're not done yet. And I guess I never really had a chance to thank you for that. To be able to have the courage to step into the booth, to put those words into life, into something tangible that people can hear, you know? So thank you. That's awesome.
I accept your thanks. Given the option of doing that or calling someone who did not do me any harm a name or throwing a brick, it was an easy choice. I'm out to be as positive as I can, even when circumstances try to push me otherwise. And that was the most positive way to address the frustration of, generations that I could think of.
I'm gonna just applaud one more time, just right here. Nice and fast applause. I can see my waveforms there. Nice and fast applause. If you're listening, please check the show notes for the link to that narration. It's beautifully written and beautifully performed. There's no other way to describe. And I kind of want to connect it to back to the point of, again, me disagreeing with you about the weed part, because that was beautiful. That was fucking beautiful, honestly. And it gave me goosebumps everywhere. And it was so poignant and relevant and important. And it still continues to be to this day. And everybody should listen to it.
It will be until the changes are made to make saying such things unnecessary. And that's the day that I expect we all are wishing for.
All of us. Absolutely all of us. Holy crap, that took a different turn. I love it. That's fantastic. And not only are they stories, these are important things to me and to you and to everybody listening, I think. And if this is not important, listener, those of you who are listening, if this is not an important issue, please unfollow me right now. This is not acceptable. Not at all.
A question for you, Mr. Yoon.
Yes, sir.
What's looking good on your pantry this week? What's on the menu? Oh,
good Lord. After the kimchi jjigae Zoom call, I made another one earlier today, actually. Did it with steak pieces, sirloin, crisped at the end for that extra goodness of that burnt crisp ends, you know, with a mixture of maple syrup bacon. Ah, oh, Damon, like burnt steak tips with maple syrup bacon, brown sugar, maple syrup bacon with the hotness and the spiciness of kimchi jjigae.
All right. That sounds dynamite. You know what? And this, in our discussions of food, I've realized something.
Yes, sir.
That Korean food is soul food. Taken, like, in what little I know of Korean history, supplies were scarce. There were lots of mouths to feed. The best bits of the critter already went to those folks. What can we eat? Like, I only got a cow's foot. Well, hey, I got three vegetables. I got some pickles. Like, let's put that together and put that in a pot so we can all eat. Y'all, shut up. Eat it. Wow. And it hit me like a shot to realize this is Korean soul food. And I grew up in the San Francisco Bay, and I got a real connection to Pinoy culture. Filipino, those were my buddies in high school. So went to houses and know the basics of the food, have learned and forgot curse words and stuff like that. And we'll always have a tie to that. But the parallels between the soul food of my roots and what I'm hearing you convey with love about Korean food, like, that ain't nothing but a pig ear sandwich. He's talking about that like pig ear sandwich. That sounds so familiar. Holy moly. Like, taking the worst bits and turning it into something succulent. Like, so now I know bibimbap. Bibimbap is my pride and joy. I love me some bibimbap. But I need you to introduce me to the soul food. Small bites, maybe with a lot of beer, because pig ear sandwiches are a hard sell, and I wouldn't push that on you. I'd throw you in the shallow end of the pool so you could learn to swim, and we'd work our way there.
I will have you know, sir, during the filming of my travel show, I traveled to Atlanta for real soul food.
Hey.
And that stuff over there is phenomenal. That's soul food right there. And I connected with those folks and those. I'm gonna do it. Okay, so here's a little story. During the filming of the Georgia peach farm, it was time for lunch, and the owner of the farm was like, "You gotta go to this one place." And okay, so the crew and I got in our car and drove to this town that had maybe 10 buildings in the middle of nowhere. And there was this restaurant. It was run by a black family, and the grandma, who's like 80 something years old, runs the restaurant. It's the only restaurant
Sounds
in town.
Familiar.
There's like 10 houses. They don't have no fancy credit card system. Everything's cash. And she opens she's 80 something years old. She opens the door to the restaurant every day and makes fried chicken like she's been taught all her life and has made all her life. And when the greens came out with the fried chicken on paper plates.
Classic.
You know, because, you know, hands down, Damon Alums, the best fried chicken I've ever had in my life. People talk about grandma's fingers in the soup. This was the real thing. This was the real thing. I mean, like, this was the real thing. And that's a moment that I'll never forget.
Cultural exchange. Have you heard of the expression "put their foot in it"?
Haven't heard that. No.
Okay, so you've heard the expression "grandma put her finger in the soup." Now that is praise level one. Now, if you've got the entire family reunion singing your praises, that's the expression. Ooh, she put a foot in that. Couldn't tell you the etymology. It's a rather disturbing image. However, it is the highest form of praise that you can get in reference to soul food. I've been cooking family reunion barbecue for 10 years plus, and they all, hey, D-cooking? Oh, he put his foot in it this year. Like, hey, that's the goal.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that from now on. That's awesome. Oh, he put his foot in and that's right there.
And when you come across black folks, they'll do the RCA dog head turn like, eh? Where'd you learn that? What?
Oh, Lord. You're not that far away from me. Come on down. You know, when this... I've been telling all of the people that I know that are in the LA area, or in the Southern California area, that when this whole COVID-19 lifts and restaurants open back up and we're able to like mingle and get together again, I'm serious. I'm going to throw this event where I just gather people that are in this area. And we'll just eat a bunch of Korean barbecue and drink a lot of soju.
Hey, never had soju. I will take you up on that.
And here's your invitation.
Invitation accepted.
We'll have some bibimbap on the side for you. That's fine.
Right on.
Beautiful. Now, the following questions are questions I ask everyone. Ready?
Okay, let's go.
Now, I think that after talking with so many people, I think that the equipment that we purchase in the beginning and what we use and the path that we upgrade to as our career progresses is a super interesting mile marker of our progress in this industry. So I'm curious to find out, and I kind of already know already, what did you start out with and what are you using now?
Wow. Jeez. Putting me on the spot. Radio Shack microphone, price point, $25.
Yes.
Interface, it was $50, and that was like eating into grocery money. And started with Audacity. Trey Mosley, who is my VO big bro, he hooked me up with the AT2020. So got to upgrade there. Then, so basic mic to the AT, interface went belly up, and my uncle, who I call dad, he was a neighborhood dad, he gave me the Focusrite Solo that I am currently using.
Nice.
Microphone upgrade, got the Sennheiser. 416.
Poo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cue the hallelujah chorus.
That's a day. That's a day I remember. Yeah.
So and as far as recording space, I went from a cardboard box with mattress pad glued in it to a closet with towels stapled to the walls to the garage. That was a nightmare. Tried to soundproof that with foam pads, hot in the summertime, cold in the wintertime. And if it rained, no recording that day. flashbacks, to my current, studio booth, which is what I have right now. I've got a nice little recording space. I'm upstairs in the Urban Legend Ground Zero. Got the struggle couch right outside, PS4 right there. So when I'm done recording, I can save the universe and I can take care of everything once I go upstairs. As a matter of fact, if you're stalking me on Instagram, I will be giving a tour once I get the carpet clean, because this little situation is lush. I've come
a lot of
so
action.
Far. And yeah, this is just the beginning.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Okay, then let's talk about the future. What are some short-term and long-term goals?
Short-term. Okay, time to put myself out there a little bit. I'm a big comic book head who is dissatisfied with much of what I see of the characters that I have grown up reading. Sometimes they change the story. Sometimes they change the character. Sometimes they change the go with a different choice than I would expect. Yeah, I'll vote with my dollars. One step that they have made was that I did agree with and agree with wholeheartedly is casting Kevin Conroy as Batman. That man embodies that role with a love of the source material that, you know what? Totally sold. Kevin Conroy is my favorite Batman. That is, until I started playing around in the booth. I was playing around with a script and shocked myself, like, what? Oh my God, I'm Batman.
Oh yeah.
There it is.
Kevin Conroy is always the top dog. He is the OG Batman that satisfies a stickler for original recipe like myself. But you know what? I could swing with that role real, real good. And rather than just be that guy on the corner that says, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, I have stretched my creative growth by doing a series of skits with my voiceover buddies called the Batman Project.
Oh.
There's like 5 videos so far. And they're all posted. If you would like to see them, I encourage you to enjoy them. However, I outgrew, or what I was trying to do outgrew my ability to supply it. My ability in sound design, I wasn't able to deliver the way that I wanted to. Even for a project that is only for me, there's a certain, I want to be associated with quality, and I wasn't putting it out at the level that I wanted. So I took a break, did a whole bunch of learning, and short-term goal, the Batman Project will be returning. I'm telling you this before anybody else. We are going to do full issues of the Batman comic, issues that feature a special guest, a special member of the Batman family. So it'll be sort of like Batman and this person.
Oh, my.
The first issue of the second rollout will be the Red Hood, shouting out my man Kevin Paculon, who will be voicing the Red Hood. Picked out one that features him, and Batman is just playing the back. But the Batman Project will be starting up again. That's short term. That's something that I'm doing just for me because I love comics. So I'm going to do what I can. But yeah, Kevin Paculon is my voiceover buddy, and he'll be voicing the Red Hood. And this will be my homage to the comic book page because the movie first fans, I respect their lane. I respect the suits that are making it. They're trying to get as much money as possible.
Sure.
But I want the original recipe. So I need to make the original recipe. So I'm going back to the page, and we will be doing full issues of Batman and a feature character. Sound design is not my strong suit, but it should be dropping probably around my birthday next month. But yeah, that's a small term, short-term goal, one that I'm setting for myself. Won't put any money in my pocket, but this is something that I want to do. I've set my sights on it, so time to make it happen. As far as long-term goals, I want to be the voice of a video game that my son will play and be able to brag to his buddies. Oh, yeah. Call of Duty? You like fragging? Oh, yeah, that's my dad that you're playing. That's his voice when you're throwing the grenades. Like, what? Yeah, that's my dad. So it goes back to that paternal thing.
That's legit right there. Yeah. My kids have heard me voice a few things here and there on Amazon and other streaming services that they watch. And like the magic has worn off. That, you know, that's dad? But now it's like, oh, yeah, that's dad.
Yeah, whatever. So it's,
but that temporary moment of the self-gratification where you get to see the kids' eyes light up, you know, in realization, that's a treasured moment that I'll never forget, for sure.
Right on. My boys have seen me fight my way from that first cardboard box with the mattress pad glued in it. And I'm not sure. Well, my oldest, he's a teenager, so nothing phases him on the outside. But they see how far we have come as a team. And I don't think we'll ever be able to get over it because, like, we've come this far and Dad's on this now? Like, Dad's bad. I still get a piece of that. And I think we'll always have that because, once again, we had nothing. No window, no pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. And we have scratched and we have made it this far. So I don't think that gloss will ever vanish completely. My 8-year-old, he's a goof. He's like, oh yeah, my dad's the voice of the Rona.
Yes!
With all the power of being 8, like, yeet, Rona. Like, oh man, okay, yeah, go play.
It's so fun to be a dad, you know?
Absolutely, there's no higher honor.
All right, Damon. What's next? What if you're not under any NDA, what's coming up next? And where does life go from here?
Ever upward. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Ever upward.
Yeah.
I am under no NDAs, but I am on a constant scramble to improve my standing in the industry, to improve the quality of what I produce, and to associate myself with like-minded individuals who have the same drive and complementary skills to what I bring to the table. Always good to associate with good people. So I will continue to do that. I've always wanted to be an upstanding person, so I will continue to do that. I am a top-tier type of guy, so the products that I associate myself with, I plan to have the same quality. Other than that, sky's the limit.
Yeah, yeah. Keep going on, going with the going-ons. Keep dadding, absolutely. And pushing forward, moving forward. That's... What else is there? You're right about that. Yeah.
And if you fall down, fall on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up.
Man, that's good. That's good. You should start your own quotes and talks. All right, Damon. If the listeners would like to learn more about you and your work, where can they go to find you?
Wow. It is my duty to be ever present. I am on most, if not all, of the socials. Search me up by name on Facebook. Say hi. I will definitely say hi back. Damon Allums on Facebook. Instagram. I'm on Insta as Urban Legend VO. Also on Twitter, Urban Legend VO. TikTok. There you go. Same thing. Urban Legend VO. Making it easy to find myself. The urban legend of the industry is at your disposal, ready to hang out with good people and laugh and learn about good food and have a good time.
Is there a website?
Website, yes. UrbanLegendVoiceover.com is my storefront on the interwebs.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for spending these past hour and a half here with me this evening.
It's a pleasure, man.
It was an honor for me. It was a pleasure for you and an honor for me. So I think we're both coming out on top here. I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for quite some time, FYI. And I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm happy and I'm honored. And I'm ultimately more happy to have gotten to know you a little bit more. That's awesome.
I appreciate that greatly. You're making me feel like one of the cool kids. I'm not accustomed to that, but right on.
I wish you nothing but the best.
I hope we can hang out again, definitely in person. You're going to have to save that extra fresh squid salad No, just give me some bib and bap and I'll be straight.
Oh, no, no. Sanakji, the squid legs that are still moving around your mouth that get stuck to your tongue. You have to pry it out with a chopstick as you eat it. The advice is to chew as fast as you can to kill the muscles and the nerves. You're on, sir. Next time you're down here, I'm gonna. No, don't say no. Say yes. Teach you the real meaning of soul food. That's right.
Yeah, I didn't expect it was so Korean. Wait a minute. Yes.
Ah, Jesus. All right, Damon, it was a real nice pleasure talking. It was a great pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Junyu Voice Moto, thank you, sir.
So happy to have known more about you. I hope you have a great evening and best of luck in your venture.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very, very much. Hey, everybody listening, thank you and hope to see you soon.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Eric Howell, and I'm the podcast editor for Voice Actors Showcase.
Whoa! Hey, get back! I'm trying to make a commercial here!
Anyways, if you have a podcast that needs editing, or you would like to make a voice acting demo reel, you can reach me at thepodcastdoctor@gmail.com, and I'll be with you right after I slay this dragon.
No, you! Come back here!